it's time to experience the Synergy Connection Show with your host, Lucy Forsting.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Synergy Connection Show. We have had a very interesting ride for these almost 6 years now of different shows that have been recorded, and they're on my website at www.synergyconnectionradio.com. There's, I don't know how many shows there now. I think there's about 425. And Mark has been one of my guests on previous shows, and I have him back, thankfully, with me today. And we're going to be talking about the eternal journey of the soul. I also want to remind everyone that when you go to the website, there is a link there to Boomers Forever Young. And they've been a sponsor of the show for all of these almost 6 years now. And I've used their products for at least 7.5 years. I know it's one of the things that has kept me incredibly healthy and able to heal more recently a fractured shoulder back in November. And it's done really well. And the doctor just says that I'm an anomaly, whatever that means to him. And I guess it's just because I heal faster than the average person. Fortunately, did not have to have surgery. And I found out that when you don't have surgery, it takes longer for your body to heal it because it doesn't have any artificial whatever in there. But for me, I was very thankful that I didn't need surgery. I'd rather take longer than have something in my body that isn't part of my body, because I seem to have a vibrational frequency, as Mark calls it, that is a little bit different than the average guy. And I don't think my body likes to accept anything that's not part of it to begin with. If you decide that you want to order any of the Boomer products, if you just put my first name, L-U-C-Y, into the discount box, you're going to get 15% off of your order. And one of the newest products they have, which I have been using, it's currently out of stock, but it's called Myotrol. You can't get it anyplace else. And it's M-Y-O-T-R-O-L. So if you type that word into the search box at their website, you'll be able to read all about it and the inventor. And it's quite amazing what this product is doing for so many people. Along with endurance and stamina, people report sleeping better. They're reporting clearer cognition, just remembering things. But it was meant, the inventor created it, just so people who are doing any kind of activity can do more of it. And so if you're walking, swimming, biking, running, you know, any kind of physical activity, you're not going to get tired. And that's what I experienced, is just, it's crazy, but you just have all of this extra energy and you don't tire out. So check out Myotrol, M-Y-O-T-R-O-L. And again, you'll get a 15% discount if you decide to try it. All of their products are 60-day guarantee. All righty. So welcome back, Mark.
Thank you, Lucy. I always enjoy our interviews. It's an honor to work with you, and
thank you.
I just feel very blessed being able to talk to you and talk to your audience.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. I have fun with a number of my guests, but you're at the top of the list. So it's admiration society here today. So we're going to talk about this eternal journey of the soul. And I know that's one of the things that you're kind of going around the country doing. Aren't you talking about that very topic?
Very much so. All of my books, Never Letting Go, Evidence of Eternity, and The Afterlife Frequency, I talk about the eternal journey of the soul, and I explain it in scientific concepts. And this year, I've been on a nationwide speaking tour, talking about the eternal nature of what I've referred to as the electromagnetic soul, the EMS. And it has been really fascinating spending years doing the research and compiling the data, plus my own experiences as a psychic medium, communicating with spirits, and putting it all together, writing about it, and now going and being able to discuss it. So I do a lot of work with consciousness, with the soul. In fact, I'm going to be one of the speakers at the Galileo Commission's online event in July to discuss this. And I just spoke at the New Living Expo, the Sedona Ascension Retreats, the Edgar Cayce Association for Research and Enlightenment, and I will be presenting this as well at the Helping Parents Heal 2024 conference in Phoenix. So it's my life's work to help people understand that our soul is an eternal entity.
I've never asked you this before, but I also believe that the soul is eternal and we take on different physical forms, you know,
yes.
And so obviously there are past lives because this human body only lasts for so long. And then we become spirit for a while. And I think some people come back rather quickly and other people might not come back for what, 100 years, 200 years, you know, so they might wait a while before re-entering the physical form. Do you know some of your own physical encounters? I don't know whether that's the word I want to use, but you know, who you've been. I know some people I've been, which is really remarkable when I think about it, is I've been a male more than I've been a female.
That's a really complex question, because my entire life I've had memories and connections with things that don't correspond with anything that I've experienced in this life.
Right.
And if you look around my house, I mean, this is my office, and you know, I have this, you know, jungly tropical, you know, type theme. But it's funny because a friend of mine, he was over my house and he was looking around and goes, "Are you in reincarnation?" And I started laughing. I go, "Why?" He goes, "Well, just looking around here, I can see, you know," because my house is a lot of Roman, Greek, Italian Renaissance, ancient Egyptian, Peruvian things. There are certain cultures that I just zero in on. But I think an interesting story along those lines, years ago, I met Sylvia Brown. And for those of you who don't know, Sylvia Brown was a very famous psychic. She was surrounded in controversy her entire life. You know, there was people saying, "Oh, she's a fraud," and other people that really believed in her. And she was quite the character. I met her probably about 5 or 6 years before she passed. And she did this group past life regression. And a past life regression is a meditation, and she was guiding it. And the point of that is to go into prior lives. Now, there are legitimate hypnotherapists and psychologists who employ what's known as PLR, past life regression therapy. And PLR is hypnosis. And the objective is to take you back to a prior incarnation. And it's used in the psychological field for people to treat trauma. For example, let's say somebody has a horrific fear of the water, or somebody has this terrible phobia of claustrophobia, and there's no reason, or at least discernible or identifiable reason in this life for that. Many times with people go into a prior incarnation, they will find out, well, you know, maybe they're buried alive, or maybe they drowned, or what have you. And the really funny thing about this, I do a live stream show every week called The Psychic and the Doc. It's every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, and all times between and either side of that. And my co-host is Dr. Pat Basile. She's a world-renowned behavioral psychologist. And we did an episode where we had a gentleman on the show who was a former police captain, okay? And he was a real no-nonsense guy. And in the course of an investigation, he met a psychologist who said, "Well, I do past life regression." And he thought, "Oh, that's just a bunch of stupid people blaming their hangups on a prior life. And there's no..." So she challenged him. She said, "Well, why don't you do it?" Well, he hit on 3 different lifetimes.
Wow.
Yeah. And two of them where he was a woman. Now, this was a big bruiser Indianapolis police captain who was head of the homicide division. This is not the guy who was seeking to explore his feminine side. But the fascinating thing about that is that he saw himself in his last incarnation in the 18 look like he said it looked like the late 1800s. There's horses and buggies, cobblestone streets, the way things look. And he saw himself painting a portrait. And he was thinking, I hate painting portraits, but I need the money. And he was painting the portrait of a hunchback woman.
Oh,
Now,
wow.
that's a weird thing to think about. And long story short, this happened before, this was in the early 90s. This all happened before the internet became, readily accessible in 1993. So being a homicide investigator, in fact, in charge of the division, he started trying to find an artist who painted portraits in a hunchback woman. Anyway, couldn't find anything, so but he was still looking, and then he was in New Orleans with his wife. They'd never been there before, and he walks into an art gallery and he said, my heart almost jumped out of my chest, because there on an easel was the portrait of the hunchback woman. And he said,
No
I
kidding.
know this. And I'm given the Cliff Notes version of this because there's so many details. He said that he felt associated with France, but that he died somewhere else in a very big city. He saw that his first name started with a J. Anyway, so he asked the gallery owner, and the gallery owner said, well, I know the guy that painted this. All we have is his name is J. Carroll Beckwith, and that he died in New York City, a big city.
Oh
Now,
my
the
God.
homicide investigator had something to work on, and he went to New York, and he went to, gosh, I can't recall the name of the organization. It's like a National Institute of Design, and he found on microfilm that this particular artist had a 17,000-page diary that had been copied on microfilm, and he found out that J. Carroll Beckwith spent time in Paris. He eventually died in New York. He painted portraits mostly. He was obscure, and he found like something like 100 details that he had in his PLR sessions that he could now verify.
Oh my gosh.
I know it's just it's amazing when something like that happens. And the question, and I wrote about this in an article I wrote for Best Holistic Life magazine. Why didn't he feel that he was a famous painter like Michelangelo or Raphael or Monet? Why would you think that you're an obscure artist nobody's ever heard of who painted portraits, and then the one that he identifies is of a hunchbacked woman? So when you start looking at things like that, now I started off talking about Sylvia Brown. So here I am, and Sylvia Brown leads us into this discussion, I mean, this meditation. And suddenly I saw myself as about maybe 5 or 6 years old. And I was splashing in water, and I could smell the water. And there was all these other boys about my age, and we're in this large stone room, and there was these arches everywhere in the water. It was kind of warm, and I could smell the water, and I could see the archways, but it looked like it was it, nothing I could relate to. And then I saw myself around 21 years of age, and I was laying down and I was dying. I felt like I had this terrible pneumonia, and there was a woman that seemed to be not just my mother in that life, but the mother that I had in this life. I recognized my brother and sister from this life, and I only have two siblings in this life, but I also recognized a third sibling that I didn't know. And then I came out of it. Well, okay. And during the whole experience, I kept hearing the word Narbo, Narbo, and I'm like, Narbo. So I write down NARBO. And when I got home from the conference, I started searching on the internet for Narbo. And then all of a sudden, and the thing is, the Lifetime that I saw, it appeared that my family were they were farmers, and it looked ancient. I mean, the farming equipment was very crude by our standards, the housing, the clothing of the people. And so I start doing an internet search of Narbo, and then I realize then it comes up that Narbo was a Roman settlement in what is now the south of France. And I started looking, they had pictures of it, and my heart almost stopped when I saw the ruins of the public baths, which looked exactly like I saw, except I saw them, they looked brand spanking new and they weren't all crumbling. So was that a prior lifetime? You know, then even though, yes, I'm a psychic medium and I do believe in these things, but I'm also an attorney. So my logical and skeptical side comes in, maybe, and I've always been drawn to ancient Roman artifacts and France. Maybe in my research over the years, did I see a picture of this? Is there something about it, or was it a past life memory? So I like to keep an open mind, and it's very important not to jump to conclusions. But another fascinating thing, the dying of pneumonia, my entire life, I have grappled with upper respiratory infections. In fact, when I was born, I was a blue baby. I wasn't breathing, and they were about to pronounce me dead. And my mother started shouting at the doctor, and she said, "You work on him, you save my baby." And apparently they were just trying to humor her, and they held me up and they started smacking me on the fanny and rubbing my back, and then all of a sudden I started coughing. So even from day one, I've always had these type of issues. And these are the type of things that in reincarnation research that we look for, is this fits in PLR. The thing I've had to deal with my whole life is upper respiratory infections, okay? And I always take, you know, great care, and I tend to be kind of germophobic and all that for good reason. But the thing is that a carryover from a previous lifetime? Okay. Seeing a structure which is now in ruins, but I saw it when it was fully functional and it made sense. They would probably would have brought a bunch of little boys at this about the same age so they could do the, you know, the whole public bathing thing and then move on to, you know, the next batch of people, so on and so forth. So I like to keep an open mind.
That is really a great story, though, because I mean, I knew that you would be more not literal. You would be specifically looking for signs that yes, this is something that is valid that I remembered. Whereas I think other people might just kind of, I don't know, clump them all together and go, yeah, well, that's just part of it. But fascinating. Well, the journey of the soul itself, you know, I was looking at a couple of articles before we talked, and it appears to me to be something that everyone does to some degree, that we are born, you know, we obviously, you know, get older, but at some point in your life, and it might be because of a traumatic event that will make you start reflecting, but at some point you kind of go, I wonder what life is supposed to be all about. What is this journey that we're in? And not wait until we're on our deathbed to go, aha. And I don't know if that is kind of where your journey of the soul goes, where you're looking at the purpose, if you will, the reason that you've chosen to be in this physical form, whatever form that is.
I don't know if anyone could answer that. And a lot of my colleagues will say, well, this definitely means this. And you have to be very cautious about with somebody who claims to have all the answers. You know, as a medium, as an afterlife and survival of consciousness researcher, I have insights, but I don't claim to have all the answers. Because a lot of people say, well, why would I have chosen this life? Why would the people in Ukraine have chosen to be there when their country's getting bombed? Why would the people in Gaza or Somalia or any one of these other terrible areas, why would people in the United States choose to be homeless and mentally ill? You know, there are so many horrific conditions. Why would somebody choose this? And a good friend of mine, Dr. Gary Schwartz, he is with the University of Arizona, and he's working on the Soul Phone Project, which is actually technology to communicate with the other side. And his wife, Rhonda, also a very dear friend, is a medium, a very gifted one. And I like something Rhonda said. Rhonda Schwartz said, we have one life and it's eternal. And it makes so much sense because think of, okay, here's a baseline and our soul's moving along this and then blip comes into this world and out, blip comes into this world and out, blip, like that. And so those blips are our material world existence. Let me explain this through a scientific lens. One of my key signature theories is the electromagnetic soul theory. We know everything's made of molecules, which in turn are composed of atoms, which are made of electrons, protons, and neutrons, which in turn are made of the smallest particle known as a quantum. And that's where the term quantum physics comes from. And a quantum is pure electromagnetic energy, which means, Lucy, that everything is electromagnetic energy on the subatomic level. So this pen I'm holding are both made of the same electromagnetic energy on the subatomic level. And so are the radio waves that this show is being broadcast on, as are the rings of Saturn and beyond. And people say, well, gosh, that's really hard to wrap my head around. And my response to that is, you think? I mean, this took Albert Einstein, Werner Heisenberg, and Max Planck, to name a few of the uber geniuses, to develop this. And now we know these things to be true. So we know from the laws of thermodynamics and physics that energy is neither created nor destroyed, only transferred from one form to another. The brain hosts our consciousness. It doesn't create it. Because neuroscientists, the study of the human brain, the official position is that consciousness is caused by electrical impulses and chemical reactions within the human brain, which is essentially a carbon-12 resonator floating in water. Okay. And the brain is only 2% of the body's weight, but uses over 20%, consumes over 20% of the body's electromagnetic energy. We know from faith, every great spiritual teacher, whether it's Buddha, Jesus, Confucius, Zoroaster, Muhammad, Gandhi, the Native American spirituality, I mean, you can go on and on and on, all say that the soul, the spirit, pre-exists the body, comes into the body, moves on after the body dies. So I developed the electromagnetic soul theory to define what we really are in 21st century terms. We are pure consciousness. You can call it a soul or a spirit, which is eternal electromagnetic energy. So that when this carbon-12 resonator ceases to function, in other words, when our body dies, the EMS, the electromagnetic soul, leaves that container. Now, the big question here is, does it stay coherent? Is this a coherent quantum field? Based on the massive amount of research done in the last 50 years, and particularly since 2022, we've had some major developments in 2022, it does appear that science is beginning to collect evidence that our consciousness, in other words, our soul, survives physical death. Ergo, we have one life, pure energy, which is eternal. Okay, so that's why we drop out of the, I call it the afterlife frequency, you can call it the collective consciousness as well, and we incarnate. So our electromagnetic soul, it'll leave our body, it quantum leaps to a parallel dimension, which is the afterlife frequency. And this is not some woohoo thing. This is in conformity with string theory, that there's not just one universe, but different dimensions within it, and then multiverses. And then the EMS returns to our material world dimension and attaches to a new host, meaning a fetus. So I present on my speaking tour the scientific basis for reincarnation and for all forms of spiritual contact, which is the overlap between our material world dimension and the afterlife frequency. And in between that, I call it the NDE zone, because when people have a near-death experience, they leave their body and they touch eternity, the afterlife frequency, but they come back. So that's why my electromagnetic soul theory has been adopted and accepted by so many scientists, because it offers a sound scientific explanation for these phenomena.
In some ways, we're very symbiotic, I guess.
That's a good way of putting it. Yeah, I think so.
Because that would make some sense. And I've always felt like we have unfinished business, if you will. Like, even if you started back 1,000 years ago, with multiple reincarnations over time, that you might rest, you might, try to understand your experiences in physical form. And then when you're kind of done assimilating whatever knowledge you needed to from a spirit point of view, then you're ready for, if you will, your next lesson or your next experience. And I don't know whether you always choose or whether you just kind of say, I need to learn about patience. I need to learn tolerance. I need to learn how to get along with others. I mean, maybe you've been somebody that couldn't get along with anyone, and you choose that next experience. Is that too far off base?
I don't think it is at all. And then let's take this one step further. What about the sociopaths? What about the evil people? Okay.
Right,
and,
right.
I a lot of my colleagues say, don't use the word evil. I'm sorry. Unlike a lot of other mediums, I didn't exist in some airy, fairy, hippie granola world. I was in the courtroom. I've been to prisons, to jails in my capacity as a lawyer. I've encountered serial killers. I mean, homicidal personalities and sociopaths, according to the American Psychiatric Association, they're incapable of the emotion of love.
Mm.
Okay? They're pure ego. They're pure self-centered. And everything they do is in furtherance of what they can get out of someone or a situation. And the fascinating thing is, my colleagues who are mediums, we all agree you can't read a sociopath. There's no love there. Spirit communication, psychic reading, that's a love-focused activity. And that's also how we can spot them, too. It's like they're a void. Now, why would an electromagnetic soul, why would you choose to be a sociopath? And not all sociopaths are the homicidal killer coming through your bedroom window with a hatchet at 3 a.m. A lot of them are sitting in Brooks Brothers suits in boardrooms or in a council table or, in political positions. I mean, if you look at, and I try to avoid politics, but never mind crashing on Vladimir Putin. I mean, there's a textbook sociopath right there.
Yes.
I remember hearing all these politicians when Putin became president of Russia like 30 years ago, and George W. Bush, oh, this is someone I can work with. And Bill Clinton had said, oh, yeah, he's this and that. And I remember John McCain saying, and when I looked in his eyes, the only thing I saw was KGB. and McCain sought. Okay. Now, Putin obviously is wreaking havoc and death and destruction upon millions of people. All sociopaths aren't quite that destructive. And there's others like Bernie Madoff. He was another one who showed absolutely no empathy, no remorse, no sympathy for his victims, where he created phony investment accounts and instead kept all their money. And when people try to access their financial holdings, there was nothing there. So these people have a part to play. We all have a part to play. Not everyone's going to be a Saint Francis of Assisi or a Mother Teresa or a Gandhi that's bringing, you know, light and love and healing and nonviolence. There are people who come into this material world dimension to play negative parts. Once again, why is that? And that certainly is one of those questions I would like to know when it's my time to communicate directly with the collective consciousness.
Well, I mean, to me, and this is just my interpretation, but to me, it makes perfect sense that those people are there because as a psychotherapist, I have worked with them. Oh. And one of the things that comes up is if you did not have the counterpart, if I'm representing love, light, empathy, you know, all of those positive virtues, there has to be a counterpart for me to work off of in order to understand and learn. So I would have, I mean, I had a personality disorder person that had 17 distinct personalities that I worked with for 2.5 years. And her father actually had been a warlock. And his cronies had started sexually abusing her when she was 5 years old. And she wasn't able to leave that until she was around 15. So for 10 years, they would regularly abuse her, which is why she had so many different personalities. You know, what an awful situation. But each one of her distinct personalities, in a way, you could almost look at that as a different life, right?
Right.
And each one was learning different lessons. And so maybe that is part of who we are, is that we have to learn these lessons by having somebody who is our opposite in order to learn it from. So if I'm a very trusting individual and I'm married to somebody who's a narcissist that has got, you know, multiple affairs on the side, what's the lesson I'm learning? What is the lesson maybe that he's learning? And so you have to have that opposite person in order to teach you anything.
Well, it's been said, you can't see the light without the darkness.
Exactly.
And a lot of people, you know, they talk about, well, you know, the other side's supposed to be so happy all the time. And that's what I get from spirits. They're always, you know, they're pure energy. Energy doesn't get old. It doesn't get sick, tired, or die. Mm-hmm. It doesn't get depressed. Mm-hmm. And perhaps coming into this world, in other words, I don't believe in hell, but I believe in reincarnation, and hell's here on earth. And so somebody that's locked into a relationship with a narcissistic serial cheater, or somebody who's getting bombed by, you know, some tyrant ordering an unnecessary war, these are all material world experiences that we can't have in spirit. And I'm not justifying any of that behavior. This is simply an observation, not an endorsement of any type of negative or abusive behavior.
Right. Oh my goodness. Our show is come to an end already. So I guess we're going to, maybe the next show that we do together in October will have a continuation of the journey of the soul, because it is perpetual and it is everlasting. And I think it's just a roadmap to teaching us a lot about different things, you know, the beauty of life, the wonder of it, but also, you know, the horror of it. And in today's world, we see that much more than we did 1,000 years ago, 500 years ago, 100 years ago, because of technology. And so we see the disease, we see the horrific things that can happen because somebody like Putin is out there, or what we've got going on in Palestine and, Israel. I mean, no matter where we look, there is devastation of some sort.
Yes.
And it is how, I guess, mankind learns and maybe makes the choices to change things. Because if it gets so bad, the only alternative is change.
It is. It is. There's been a lot of people from Nikola Tesla in the early 20th century until now saying this because there's going to be a shift to where the feminine gender are going to be coming into more leadership roles. And I'm all for it because my gender hasn't exactly done a very good job for the past 5,000 years. And think about if more moms were ruling the world, how many moms are going to send young people off to die in a war? How many
Exactly.
moms are going to be derelict in their duties in countering a pandemic? How many
Right.
moms are going to tolerate people going hungry and homeless? I'm
Right.
all for it.
Patriarchal society may need to move over.
You know what? I'm like I said, I at this point, well, because the world's in a very dangerous place right now. You have
Yes.
a number of people like Putin, like Kim Jong-un, and like the Iranian leadership threatening nuclear war. And what they don't realize is that this isn't throwing a hand grenade. This is going to set off a chain of events that could very likely exterminate the human race. And I'm an internal optimist, and I believe that we're going to get through this. And I really hope I'm right.
I hope you're right too. I sincerely do. I don't think we're here by accident.
No.
Maybe showing people that there is another way. Thank you for being on the show again. I can't wait to see you again in October and maybe in person before then if I can get you over to my neck of the woods.
I look forward to it. Thank you,
Okay.
Lucy.
You're welcome. Please, everyone, share this show with your family and friends. Let them know how to get hold of Mark. It'll be on the synopsis on each of the programs that he's been on. You'll be able to see how to get hold of Mark. And go out there and make this your best life. It's the only life we currently have, so make it a good one. See you next week. Bye-bye.
Boomers Forever Young is really making a name for themselves as an exciting nutritional company with products that really work. People from all over the country are starting to take notice. Their whole person approach to health and wellness, combined with their unique array of powerful natural health products, are setting them apart from all the other companies in the nutrition industry. Their customers love the one-on-one free consultations and the results they experience. Sound a little too good to be true? Then go online to boomerboost.com today and sign up for a free consultation with a product specialist, or just give us a call at 1-800-861-4609. Again, that's boomerboost.com, or call 1-800-861-4609 to join the thousands already experiencing the benefits of Boomers Forever Young products.